Today, we thank you for safety on the roads coming in, and we pray for those who are coming to the morning worship time that you will give them safety as they travel into. Be with us now as we continue this study in Ezekiel, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things on Gatestone. It is Gatestone. One article is pretty good. It's welcome to the, I won't say what they call it, hole that is in Brussels. Brussels has become they say every day there's outbreaks of riots within Brussels. And if you remember, Brussels is the capital of the EU. Most of it, of course, is by the Muslim people who live there. Not a very safe place to, from what it's saying here in the article, to want to go visit. Another one that Nancy sent was an interesting one. UK church holds joint birthday celebration for Muhammad and Jesus. Joint birthday celebration. It says here in the article, and this is from the Quran 4:171. I'm assuming that's chapter 4, verse 171. Jesus is not the Son of God, and belief in the Trinity is excess. O people of the book, do not exaggerate in your religion nor utter anything concerning Allah except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of Allah and his word which he conveyed to Mary and a spirit from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers and do not say three. Cease. Better for you. Allah is the only one Allah. Far is it removed from his transcendent majesty that he should have a son. His is all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is sufficient as defender. And you wonder why some of our people who have gone over those countries, when they translate the Bible, they omit Jesus or the name Son there because it offends them. And it's not befitting to Allah that he should be God's son. Glory be to him. When he determines the matter, he only says it to be and is it. So I'm quoting all from the Quran here. Again, the Quran. Jesus was not crucified. And because of their saying, we killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, Allah's messenger, they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared so to them, and those who disagree concerning it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except pursuit of a guess. They did not kill him for certain. Then it says here, those who believe in the divinity of Christ are unbelievers. They have certain believe who say that Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary. Then it goes on, some of the Christians have forgotten part of the divine revelation they receive. Those who believe that Jesus is God's Son are accursed. Christians who do not accept Muhammad and a Quran are the most vile of created beings. And you wonder why they act like that toward us the way they do. But they say their book's all about peace. And this everything I'm quoting here is out of their, quote-unquote, their holy book. Muslims must fight against and subjugate Christians. Fight those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor forbid who has been forbidden by Allah and his messenger, and do not acknowledge the religion of truth, even if they are of the people of the book, until they pay the jizwa with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. I'm not going to read anymore. I mean, I'm sure Nancy sent this to most of you, so it's interesting. And then, of course, the last one here was the act of divine worship in St. Mary's Cathedral in Glasgow, in which it was declared publicly from the pulpit that the Quran, that God can have no sons, and so the gospel writers were engaged in a blasphemous deceit. Right from their own or blasphemous deceit, even in their own church. Every time a church accords Muhammad the prophet, they are rejecting the crucifixion, denying the resurrection of Christ, and refuting that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the author is saying here that if churches allow them to come in and say that, they're refuting everything that we stand for, all the tenets of the Christian faith. So interesting what continues to happen, and I'm sure it's taught within places, even in America. So if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 7, We're going to try to get through verses 14 through 19 today. I think the whole purpose of this part of the book is Ezekiel is trying to tell you how the people are going to respond when this battle takes place, what their emotions are like. And as we go through this, you'll find out just how they're in terror and complete horror at what's going to take place. Verse 14, they have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to the battle. For my, meaning God's wrath, is against all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the plague and the famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword. Famine and the plague will also consume those in the city. Even when their survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each over his own iniquity. All hands will hang limp, and all knees will become like water. They will gird themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering will overwhelm them, and shame will be on all faces, and baldness on their heads. They will fling their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetite, nor can they fill their stomachs, for their iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. So we continue this description of what's taking place when Jerusalem and the towns and the cities around it within the land are going to be judged by the Babylonian army and pretty much destroyed. Let me say this, the trumpet, it's a shofar they blew. No, we think a trumpet, we're thinking of a trumpet. It was a shofar, it's a horn. That's what they blew. So it says here, they made everything ready, but no one is going to battle, for my wrath is against all their multitude. Everybody there. No one's going to be spared. That's what it means by all. Everybody. Everybody. No one goes to battle. They're going to blow it, and no one's going to go. There is little resistance to the invading army. That's the picture Ezekiel is telling them. No one's going to go out to rescue you. Okay? No one's going to go. No resistance. He's going to come in and do whatever he wants to do. That's the picture you have to understand here. That's what he's talking about. Here we get into what some people believe their emotions are like. His first manifestation would be the paralysis of the people, so that when the trumpet, and I put the shofar, was blown for the battle and all was ready, none would move forward, being overcome by terror and grief. They are terrified. That's what's going on here. They are terrified. They don't know how to deal with it. Remember in the earlier verses, it talked about God's wrath being awakened. They've been sleeping so long, the people, not listening to what anybody's told them what's going to happen, they don't believe it. Jeremiah's been warning them. Other prophets gave them warnings 200 years before this, and they still neglected it. They continue to spiral downhill